If you spent any time on social media over the last week or so, you probably saw some stunning photographs of Comet Neowise. A lot of people got out and took advantage of the opportunity to see and photograph the comet, and wow, my news feed was just blowing up with the most gorgeous pictures, and of course, one of the most gorgeous was taken by Astro Bob, who is our guest this morning, because it's his show, Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lisa.
Now,
how are you?
You'll not get an introduction like that every day.
You're probably so grateful.
Yeah.
Did you get to see it then?
I didn't.
You
but
mean
I
you
saw
still
it in I not in person, but I saw it in everybody's feed and the photographs. I got a little distracted by the photographs. The photographs were absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it just worldwide. It was such a beautiful sight, and I think it helped. Like as with any kind of astronomical or celestial photography, when the object is low in the sky, you know, ideally you'd like it high where it looks brighter, clearer. But when it's low in the sky, you get to include a landscape. And so I think I've seen every monument on Earth, you know, coupled with the comet in a picture.
Absolutely.
Because it's low in the sky.
Well, I saw some beautiful ones, of course, some gorgeous ones from our area. And then some friends of mine in Bismarck went out into the Tules, where, of course, Bismarck has a lot of, it's not quite the Badlands yet, but it's got a lot of sculpted hills, but not very many trees. So, again, you saw, you know, but that huge, huge sky out there. And so you saw the comet against the backdrop of that huge sky. Just stunning photographs from everywhere. It was really, really fun to see.
Yes, the comet. What a beautiful thing it is. It's fading now. And also, as kind of predicted, the moon would brighten the sky. So two nights ago when the moon was half, I was still able to see the comet without any optical aid. I looked out there below the Big Dipper, and there it was. It wasn't bright, and you had to know where to look, but you could see it. Last night, it was fainter. It was definitely harder. And by tonight and for the next few nights, it's going to be difficult to see it all with the naked eye. But you could still see it in binoculars. Like last night, I pointed my binoculars and saw the little head of the comet. That's the brightest part. And some of the tail, too, a little bit of a fluff behind it. So that will still be accessible to people. So I encourage people to just keep following it as long as they can, because as we both know, it won't return for another 6,800 years. Not that there won't be another bright comet between now and then. Bright comets appear roughly, I'd say roughly every 10 to 20 years. So our last really bright one was Hale-Bopp, and who knows what the next one's going to be, but I hope I'm around for it.
Boy, I do too, because your pictures are pretty. Now, did somebody say that? Did I somehow get the idea that you could see it? Well, you can see it in the, or am I confusing it with something else? So you can see it in the evening and in the morning sky?
Used to be.
Okay.
Back in early and mid-July.
Okay, but not now.
Circumpolar, there's a beautiful word for it.
Ooh, I love that.
Circumpolar, which means that is close enough to the North Star so that, like, the Big Dipper or Cassiopeia never sets. You know, you can see the Big Dipper any night of the year from our region. So it's a circumpolar constellation. It circles around the pole star. And for a while, so was the comet circumpolar. But now it's moved off to the south, so it rises and sets like most stars. And that also means that if you're listening now from the southern hemisphere, it has finally appeared in your sky. So people in the southern hemisphere, I'm sure, have been chomping at the bit to see this comet.
Get out and take some pictures.
Now they're finally getting their opportunity.
Exactly. Get out and take some pictures. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah. Some other things in the night sky, though, that are really cool. And there's a brand new picture of it. You have to see it. I did a blog about this yesterday. Is Saturn and Jupiter, that pair in the southeastern sky at dusk. Jupiter is the brighter. The Hubble Space Telescope, a team of astronomers use the Hubble, and they do this every year when Saturn is closest to the Earth, when Earth laps Saturn, which happens about every year, and the two planets are nearest. I took a picture, a close-up, an amazing, beautiful photograph of Saturn, and that's on my blog if people would like to see it. It's just, after you've seen lots of other Saturn photos, the Hubble pictures are just so sharp. They're amazing to look at. They're filled with detail. The other things that are happening, if we look ahead just a little bit, do you mind if I jump ahead?
Not at all.
Just a titch here.
Not at all.
August 1st, the moon, which a lot of our listeners, your listeners, have been looking at the last few nights, has been waxing, right? It started as a crescent, half. Now it's in gibbous phase. Well, it will pass right next to Jupiter and Saturn on August the 1st. So we'll have a nice conjunction there in the evening sky. The three brightest things in the evening sky will be all together. And then continuing on, we'll have the full moon. Pardon me, the full moon will happen just a couple of nights later on August the 3rd. And then I'm going to give you a sneak preview for what we're going to talk about next week.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Middle of August. What's the biggest thing that happens in the middle of August that you can think of, astronomically speaking? That happens every year.
So my birthday and my mom's birthday are not what you're going for. Also, I'd like to point out that Bob and I share a birthday. So joint gifts of cash can be sent, care of KUMD.
Yes, anything is appreciated. but yes, we have. Yes, all three of those people. We all have birthdays in August. But
well,
that's
yes.
not what I was hinting at. I wasn't goading you into that.
Okay.
It was. We're having the Perseid meteor shower.
Oh, just for us.
Yes.
Just kind of like a little celestial bing celebration.
Yes, it is.
Got it.
It's a little package of wonder.
Yep.
And that you can open up, Lisa, on the night of August 11th.
Okay.
Morning of August the 12th. And that is an annual shower. It's, I would say it's the second best and richest meteor shower of the year. So if folks are listening, you want to mark that on your phone. Set an alarm for August 11th that evening is a good time to go out. And we'll talk about that in more detail when we get together again in 2 weeks.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. So if you kind of blew your opportunity perhaps to photograph or to just look at Comet Neowise, there is a meteor shower coming up, and you can enjoy that also. There's always something fabulous to look at in our night sky.
Yes, and Neowise, people have asked, well, how long is the comet going to be out there? And I tell them weeks and months, but it's fading and fading each night. So always the best night to see it is the next clear night.
Okay, which could actually be tonight.
Tonight, yeah, go out. And then I've got a little map from an earlier blog that people can use to locate it. And again, it's going to be difficult with the naked eye, but definitely still there in binoculars.
All right. So be there or be square. Check out Neowise. Put on the bug dope. The other thing that a lot of these gorgeous photographs had in common were beautiful photographs. And people saying, it was worth the mosquitoes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah, we share that, too.
I thought that was pretty funny. So,
that's a common experience. The wonder of it all, and then, oh, gosh, the pain.
Yes, but, you know.
The frustration.
We all are Northlanders. We've all got our mosquito netting and our bug dope, and we've got our, we can make it happen, man.
We can make it happen. By the end of July, we know how to handle this mosquito thing.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Now what we need to do is encourage nighthawks, and then just, you know, like if you had a bat or a nighthawk, it could just fly around and eat all the mosquitoes.
Yes.
Yeah, I am just chock full of great ideas this morning.
Yes,
Bob, it's so great to have you as always. Take good care. We'll get some photos and some links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find this information. And I can't wait to talk in a couple of weeks.
And the same here, too, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me.
Mr. Bob King, our host for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy, a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on 103.3 KUMD.